Mark chapter 6, verse number 31. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Then we'll look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and look at a verse out of there. Oh, it's a privilege to be in God's house. It's a privilege to be able to read the Scripture and understand them. And I pray that the teaching and preaching from the Word of God tonight will be a help to our church. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Just follow along as I read. The Bible says, "And He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Very short verse. The Bible says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." I want to preach a message entitled, "Rest for the Weary." Rest for the weary. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for truth. We thank You for salvation. Thank You that tonight, if we are those that are saved, are justified, declared righteous in Your eyes because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank You, God, for the opportunity to gather as believers, that You've instituted the local church, Lord, and we are commanded to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Thank You for the gathering of the local church. Thank You for the times that we get together and get to hear preaching and worship You and give of our tithes and offerings. And Lord, we thank You for the different ministry activities we get to work and serve together with. And Lord, in the midst of all that, Lord, it's easy to get weary. I pray, Lord, as we look at the truths of the Scripture tonight, that You will encourage hearts and encourage those that are weary. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I go down through our church prayer list that Pastor makes up for us, and we have every family on that list, and as I pray over that list, especially over the past couple of weeks, I have been reminded of those that are weary. As I come to church and I see weary eyes and hear of weariness and see people sometimes that are just worn out, exhausted. They're pursuing, but they're faint. They're weary. Large percentage of Christians today face the human frailty of exhaustion. It's not uncommon for men to walk around like zombies, working sometimes 65 plus hours a week. They work. They come home and work. They eat. They get a few hours of shut-eye, and they start the cycle again. And they get weary. The Tacoma, Washington newspaper carried the story of Tattoo, the basset hound, a while back. Tattoo didn't intend to go for an evening run, but when his owner shut the dog's leash in the car door and took off for a drive, with Tattoo still outside the vehicle, he had no choice. Motorcycle officer Terry Filbert noticed a passing vehicle with something dragging behind it. He commented that the poor basset hound was picking them up and putting them down as fast as he could. He chased the car to a stop and Tattoo was rescued, but not before the dog had reached a top speed of 25 miles per hour, falling down and rolling over several times. To many of us, our lives are lives like Tattoo. Picking them up and putting them down as fast as we can, rolling around and feeling dragged through life. You been there before? Time magazine noted that back in the 60s, expert testimony was given to a Senate subcommittee on time management. They predicted that advances in technology would radically change how many hours a week people worked. They forecasted that the average American would be working 22 hours a week within 20 years. That was in the 60s. The great challenge, the experts said, would be figuring out what to do with all the excess time. Over 40 years later, we have all the advances of technology, that's for sure. But I don't think too many of us are wondering what to do with excess time. You see, the rat race of life eventually catches up to us. We habitually overcommit ourselves. We're frustrated by all the deadlines and events that we are held to. We begin to do things out of guilt and pressure. And we begin to wear down physically. We have stress and burdens and sorrow and sleepless nights and financial turmoil and wayward children and worry, and the list could go on. And it all bears down and begins to wear a person down. It's very practical advice to start tonight's message, but everyone operates differently as far as what it takes for you to be able to function effectively. Some can get by on 4 and 5 hours of night rest. And for those of you that can do that, I wish I could be in your shoes. My body on a repetitive basis will not take that. It'll catch up. You cannot starve your body and mind of rest and expect it not to affect you physically and emotionally. I believe in a work ethic. I believe we ought to give our all in what we do. I believe we ought not to cut the boss short. I believe in giving an honest day's work. But at the same time, I believe in taking care of the body. And you cannot push your body and keep pushing it without proper rest and it not catch up to you. Physically, emotionally, mentally, physical rest is important. It's important to come apart sometimes. It's not bad to get away once in a while. Someone once said, "You'll come apart, or you'll come apart." It's important to do that. Doctors are no dummies. What happens to some pregnant women in the later stages of pregnancy? Their bodies begin to develop complications. What is generally the doctor's first piece of advice? Bed rest. Stay in bed. Why? Because he knows that the body is giving signs to slow it down. Cut it back. Sometimes in our lives, we don't pay attention to the physical signs that God gives us in our body. Folks, God Himself worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. There's a principle there that we need to pay attention to. What takes place when this happens? Well, we get irritable. Our perspectives get narrow. They become negative. Depression sometimes. Unharnessed words, sickness, quitting, easily offended, and all the more are likely to happen to someone, more likely to happen to someone who is physically exhausted. And I challenge you tonight, practically speaking, on the physical side, to make sure that you're taking care of your body and getting rest. That's important. In Mark chapter 6, he's dealing with physical exhaustion. They have just fed 5,000 people. Now, Tim Urey is a caterer. And he feeds sometimes 300 people and maybe 500 people or so at big banquets. And he'll tell you when he comes home at night, he's ready to lay down. He's ready to relax. These people, the disciples had just fed 5,000 people. They had just gone through collecting all the fragments. And the Bible says in verse 31, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." They had not even enough leisure time to eat. That's how busy their lives were. And Jesus gives some practical instruction. Hey, it's time to come apart and get rest. We would do well if we would balance our lives a little bit more in this area and take care of our bodies. I challenge you practically on that tonight, though that's not the thrust of my message. Christians are buying into the world's mentality of raising a family. About 9 months ago, I had a burden for my neighbor who moved away. I called and set up an appointment, went over, had the opportunity to spend some time with them, had the purpose of getting the gospel to him. He sat there and heard the gospel, was able to give the complete gospel to him. He did not receive Christ, but in our conversation, he made a telling statement. An unsaved man said this to me. He said, "Oh, if I could go back to the years that I was raising kids." I said, "What do you mean, Dick?" He said, "When I was raising kids, I was under the impression that if I could give them everything of the American dream, I had done my job as a dad." He said, "I tried to give my kids everything. They had all the latest gadgets and toys and so on. He said, but when they come home today, he said, they have great fellowship with my wife, but I have no relationship with my kids. He says, if I could do it over, I would work much less and I would build relationship with my kids. He said, I have made a very foolish trade. In America today, due to the escalation of inflation and everything going up, due to families not being able to rein in their budgets and control their spending, men continue to work more hours. It starts out as 45, then goes to 55, then to 65. Some work 70 and 80 hours a week at times. And somehow we have bought into that's godly. That's how we raise a family. Now, let me balance this by saying this. I understand we need to provide for our family. Right. And that's important. The Bible says if we don't do that, we're worse than an infidel. Right. But I do believe in America we have gone overboard. Do you know that the average time a dad spends with a child today is 8 minutes a day with the child? Now, daddies, we're to be the leaders of our homes. We're to have influence on our kids. We're to be able to tell them something and they perk up their ears and hear us. But hear me well. If you're spending 8 minutes a day with your child, they will not pay attention to you. You have no relationship. And we are buying into an American dream. Work more so I can have this and this and this and pay off the credit card bill. And in all of that, we're losing what's most important, our children. The only time we know we have done enough is when we are running on empty, and when the ones we love most are the ones we see the least. When we lie down to sleep at night, we offer our full appointment calendars to God in lieu of prayer. We think exhaustion is somehow godly, and I'm not saying that none of us are ever there out of necessity. I think that all of us go through periods of our life, but if you live your life habitually like that, something needs to change. Something needs to change. When you fall asleep in your devotions or come to church and fight sleepiness, you're too busy. There's too much going on. When you don't have time for God in your daily schedule, and you're too tired to spend time in prayer or in the Word of God, then something needs to move out of your life. We're too busy. And so, many face physical exhaustion. Let me make a distinction here between exhaustion, that being the physical, and weariness, what I'm going to speak about tonight. Exhaustion takes place in our body. Weariness takes place in our soul. It's our mind, will, and emotions that grow weary. There's no doubt that physical exhaustion can affect and bring on weariness. Can affect our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. The solution for exhaustion, there are some solutions. Number one, we need rest. Number two, we need to evaluate what we're putting our time into. And we need to make tough calls in our lives. I've been throughout this particular situation numbers of times in my short life where I've had to step back and say, wait a second, there are too many things going on. I'm running too much the rat race. There's got to be some things that cut out so that I have a better balance in my life, so that I have time for the important things. It would do good, would do well for all of us to do that in our lives. I challenge the dads of this church to every once in a while pull away and evaluate where your time's going. I can do a lot of things for myself, but you know what? Nothing will substitute for sitting down and playing a game with my son or my daughter or spending time with them. I'm to be the spiritual leader of my home. I've got to be in my home to know what's going on in order to be the spiritual leader. I can't be addressing things in my home if I'm not there. And fellas, if we're failing in that area, we're failing as a father. The most important role that we have outside of husband. And so we have to evaluate and sometimes cut away the extras to give ourselves to the important. There's exhaustion, but there's weariness. I want to dwell the majority of this message on the weariness that we have. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll see weariness as it relates to the soul. Exhaustion deals with the body. People live in exhaustion. And sometimes we have to go through periods of exhaustion. I understand that. But if you live life in exhaustion, that's a manner of life for you, then something needs to change. There's some things that you need to evaluate and changes that you need to make and so on. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 13, when I pray for our families, I pray that the cost of living will keep down and the demands of the jobs will not be so high that our families will be able to have time together and that daddy will be able to be the leader of the home. I believe the escalation in inflation, all the taxes, school taxes that are going up, the demands of all the overtime is a direct attack on the family. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, we'll see weariness in the New Testament here. Paul says, I had no rest. Notice the next words, the prepositional phrase, in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. Now we're not dealing with somebody necessarily that's physically exhausted, but we're dealing with somebody that is weary, and they're weary in their spirit. There's no rest in his spirit because he's not been able to locate Titus. In Jeremiah 31, verse 25, the Bible says, God says, For I have satiated the weary soul and have replenished every sorrowful soul. In Lamentations 1, verse 22, the verse ends with this phrase, For my sighs are many and my heart is faint. You see, there's a big difference between exhaustion on one hand, dealing with the body, and weariness on the other hand, dealing with the soul. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. You know the verses well. It talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In verse number 3, it says, For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, he doesn't write that unless that can happen to an individual. So he's saying, consider what Jesus went through with the contradiction of sinners, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. So there's a possibility for every one of us to face weariness. I want you to look at the causes of weariness tonight. Number one, there's the cause of weariness. It comes from spiritual battle. Sometimes it comes from spiritual battle. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 31. Spiritual battle or spiritual service. The disciples in our text, Mark chapter 6, were feeding. They were serving. But they grew weary. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 31, talks about the Israelites fighting against the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon. And the Bible says, and the people were very faint from fighting. You know, you can serve and grow weary in spirit. You can be in a spiritual battle in your life, and as a result of that spiritual battle, be weary in your soul. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 gives us another reason or another cause of weariness when it says, Much study is the weariness of the flesh. Those of you that teach on a repetitive basis or preach the Word of God, know that if you get your mind and your soul into the Scriptures, and you're praying and laboring over what to give to God's people, you know that there is a weariness that comes with that. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and it's also true experientially. There's concern for a brother or a loved one, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul could not find Titus, and as a result of his concern for his love for his brother in Christ, there was a weariness in spirit that set in. Psalm 6, verse number 6 says, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. What was the psalmist saying? He's saying, the cause of my weariness is sorrow. You see, there are a number of different causes that bring weariness of soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 5 says this, For when we were coming to Macedonia, now remember, that's the place that Paul got the vision. the Macedonian vision that Brother Hickok preached on the other week. And he went across the lake, so to speak, to minister to those people. Man, wide open door. God's going to bless. 2 Corinthians 7:5 says, "For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears." There was a conflict and fear that brought weariness to the Apostle Paul and his team in the midst of ministry. So there's conflict and fear. There's deep sorrow. There's concern for a loved one. There's much study. There's the work of the ministry that causes these things, causes weariness. There's myths that bring weariness. I'll be more productive if I can just keep going. If I can do it myself, I'll be more productive. It seems there were two woodsmen. One day, one woodsman challenged another to an all-day tree chopping competition. The challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. The other man had a leisurely lunch, took several breaks during the day. At the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the other fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he had. "I don't get it," he said. "Every time I checked, you were taking a rest, yet you chopped more wood than I did." "But you didn't notice," said the winning woodsman, "that I was sharpening my axe when I sat down to rest." Or there was a coming apart, a refreshing, sharpening his axe and coming back, and he was more productive doing that than just staying at it all the time. Martha had a myth. I'll just serve all the time. If I'm serving Jesus all the time, then I'll make it through in life. That's what's most important. But in Luke chapter 10, verses 37 through 42, Jesus rebukes her and says, "Wait a second, you've forgotten the one needful thing. That's to be at the feet of Jesus." See, sometimes we deceive ourselves and throw ourselves into the place of weariness. Turn over to Genesis chapter 27. There's another cause of weariness I want you to see tonight. Genesis chapter 27, verse 46. It's the carnal direction of a family member. Boy, if you have family members and you're like me, you know that you want them to enjoy true living for Christ, the victorious Christian life. You want them to be fulfilled in their spiritual lives. And one of the things that can bring weariness to a person is when a family member goes into carnal living or there's a carnal influence in his life. Genesis chapter 27, verse 46 is a very interesting verse. It says, "And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?" What we don't read in this passage, but we know, is that Esau already married a Hittite. Heathen, carnal. Now, Rebekah's facing that same prospect with her other son. And she says, "My life is weary to me. If my son goes and marries one of these daughters, what good is my life?" There's a weariness that comes when a family member goes in that track. There's a weariness that comes in well-doing, though. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." We get weary by doing good things. Serving in the church. Giving our time to others. Lending a hand to someone we love. Caretaking for parents. Being a godly mother and homemaker. Working extra hours or multiple jobs to provide the needs for your family. Going soul winning, working with new converts. The list could go on and on. These things are good, but understand they could lead a person to weariness. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, is what the Scripture says. So there are many causes, a lot of things that can cause weariness, and I haven't covered them all tonight. Maybe there's something in your life that I didn't mention, but you have a weariness of soul because of something that you're facing tonight. But there are signs of weariness. There are signs of weariness. Esau was working out in the field. Worked a long, hard day. Came in, had a physical appetite, was tired, was weary. And in that short period of time, Esau made a very foolish decision. Esau chose in that short period of time to exchange the God-given birthright for a bowl of soup. You know, one of the signs that a person's weary is that they start making foolish decisions. You start looking, man, what are they thinking? They need some wisdom in that area. And they're making decisions out of weariness. Folks, if you're weary, can I give you a solid piece of advice? Don't make big decisions in times of weariness. Esau made a huge decision that affected the rest of his life, and it cost him dearly. And he made it at a time of weariness, and it affected his whole life. It's a sign of weariness. Our most notorious industrial accidents in recent years include Exxon Valdez. Remember the spilling of the oil? Three Mile Island, that hits home. Chernobyl. The fatal navigational error of Korean Airlines 007 all occurred in the middle of the night. When the USS Vincennes shot down an Iranian A-300 Airbus, killing all 290 people aboard, fatigue-stressed operators in the high-tech combat information center on the carrier misinterpreted radar data and repeatedly told their captain the jet was descending as if to attack, when in fact the airliner remained on a normal flight path. In the Challenger space shuttle disaster, how many of you remember that? I remember watching that as a young child. Key NASA officials made the ill-fated decision to go ahead with the launch after working 20 hours straight and getting only 2 to 3 hours of sleep the night before. Their error in judgment cost the lives of 7 astronauts and nearly killed the U.S. space program. When we're weary is not the time to make decisions. We have out-of-control thoughts. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Signs of weariness, foolish decisions. Signs of weariness, we don't have control of our mind. Our mind grows weary. We give in to thoughts that we shouldn't give in to when we are weary in our minds. When your mind is all over the place, when you don't have control of your mind, and you're giving in to things that you know are not true, you're buying into the satanic thoughts that he's casting at you as darts. You are in the weariness of your mind. That's a sign that you are weary. That's a sign that you are weary. Fear is another sign. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 2 says, "And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed and will make him afraid." Now this is the king. The king's not afraid of anybody. But when he's weary, that's a different story. When we're weary, we get fearful. These are signs scripturally of somebody who is weary. So there are signs and there are causes. I want to close with cures. Turn your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. You know what it's like to have weariness in your soul? Something dominates your mind. There's tension, there's stress, there's sorrow, there's worry about tomorrow. There's all kinds of things that are taking place. Our emotions are in an upheaval. We become weary in our soul. As I think of Mount Zion Baptist Church and the needs that are represented here tonight, I am convinced that in a church this size, there are many that are weary at times. Now, what is the cure for weariness? Do we have to live there? I mean, is there something we can do when we are weary? I want to give you some Bible truths tonight as we close out of Isaiah chapter 40. Begin with verse number 28. Remember, Isaiah is writing to a people in captivity, some who have given up on God, some who have said, there's no hope, I'm going to be here the rest of my life like this. And he writes in verse number 28, look at what he says, "Hast thou not known?" Starts off with a question. "Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding." Verse number 29, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." He's dealing with a people that were faint. They were weary. If you were in captivity, you'd be weary. If you were in bondage under another nation, taken out of your culture, thrown into another culture, not have the normal freedoms and the normal things that you're used to, mark it down, you would be weary. Losing hope. But he says, have you not seen? Have you not heard? What's the answer to those questions? Obviously, the children of Israel knew who God was. There's an obvious answer there. Yes, they've heard. Yes, they've seen. They know the God of the Bible. They know the God who created them. But he brings them back to His character. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." It has been common in a popular opinion that the eagle lives and retains his vigor to a great age. And that beyond the common lot of other birds, he molts in his own age and renews his feathers and with them his youth. Psalm 103:5 brings that out, where he talks about being renewed as the eagle's wings. The opinion was that at stated times the eagle plunged itself into the sea and cast off its old feathers, and that new feathers started forth. And he'd do this every 10 years until he often lived to the 100th year, and then threw itself into the sea and eventually died. What makes the eagle so special is that she sits on the rock and reads the wind. And when the time is perfect, she takes off and soars upward with her great wings. There's a special upgoing wind where the eagle rides the wind and circles higher and higher toward the sky without effort, because she's picked the time to ride the wind. She seems effortless as she flies. Now, how does that apply to us? In your time of weariness, you can do it all yourself. You can keep trying to handle the situation that's bringing you weariness, and you're going to flap your wings. And after a while, those wings are going to tire. Or you can rely on the wind. The wind, for the believer, can represent a number of things. It can represent the refreshing truths of the Word of God. It can reflect and remind us of the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And folks, you can be like the normal bird that flaps its wings, or you can be like the eagle that says, you know what, I'm going to depend upon the wind. And when a believer can go through weariness and not faint, that is evidence that his or her dependence is in the right place. They'll be able to run and not grow weary. They'll be able to walk and not faint, the Bible says, when they wait upon the Lord. When you're getting refreshing truths from the Spirit of God, from the Bible, and you're allowing the Spirit to do His work in your life in the midst of weariness, that's the person whose strength is renewed, according to the Scripture. want to give you three reminders as we close tonight about weariness. Number one, weariness is a place of reflection. It's a place of reflection. These people were weary. What did God do in verse number 28? Hey, look up! Remember me? I hadn't forgotten about you. I know you're weary. I see the circumstance that you're in. But don't forget who I am. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Hey, the person who holds you up, the person that's going to get you through, the person that's going to renew your strength, He never faints. He never grows weary. Notice in this passage, He didn't ask them to reflect on what it would be like not to be weary. He didn't ask them to reflect on how to get out of their weariness. He did ask them to reflect on the greatness of God. If you're going to be refreshed, if your strength is going to be renewed in times of weariness when your soul and your heart and your emotions and your will are hurting and struggling in your life, if you're going to be renewed, it's going to take you taking some time to reflect on the greatness of your God. And that's what He was trying to draw them to. Elihu, Job's friend in Job chapter 37 and verse 14, said this unto Job, very wise counsel, "Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." At that point, Job had not been delivered. He didn't have the second double blessing of everything. And Elihu said, "Hey, Job, I got some solid counsel for you. Stand still. Stop life. Take time to reflect on the wondrous works of God." You want some refreshing times in your weariness? Take time to reflect who God is. In your prayer time, instead of going to prayer tomorrow and having your list of needs and everything that's concerned to you, put that list aside and just take time to meditate on the greatness of your God. That's what Isaiah, that's what God's speaking to these people in captivity. But reflect on what? Reflect on the good old days? Man, I remember how it used to be. No. Reflect on what it would be like not to have to be weary. Reflect on what it would be like to be able to go and be able to sleep at night. No. Reflect on the greatness of God. Reflect on the greatness of God. Remember, this is the God of the ages. He's seen everything. He's solved everything. He's the omnipotent one, the almighty. He's the shelter in the time of storm. He's the great sustainer. He's the mighty counselor, according to Isaiah. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Jehovah Jireh of the Old Testament, the God of provision. He's the God of long-suffering, the God who answers prayer. He's the Creator of the universe and He sustains it. He's coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you take time to reflect on the greatness of God in your place of weariness? I wonder if you've made it a place of reflection. Secondly tonight, it's a pathway to revelation. It's a pathway to revelation. Look in your Bibles again in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 29. The Bible says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength." You see, God can't give power to those who think they are strong. He can't give power to the self-sufficient. But he that admits his weariness and weakness, now that's the person that gets a special revelation from God. He's the one that sees the power of God in his life. It's the person that experiences weariness that has unique opportunity to experience God's intervention. You sense the power and strength of God when you are weary. It's the weary person who experiences the special touch of God as you experience His everlasting arms upholding you. It's the weary person who understands the phrase personally that when I am weak, then He is strong. You see, weariness is the pathway for God to reveal Himself to you in a special way. It's the pathway God has for you to show Himself more personal to you if you're on the pathway of weariness. Job says in Job chapter 10, "My soul is weary of my life. I'll leave my complaint upon myself." Job was weary of life in every facet. But you talk to someone who got to experience a special revelation of God. You talk about someone like that, certainly it had to be Job. I quote from Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 5. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from Thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech Thee, and I will speak. I will demand of Thee, and declare Thou unto me.'" And then this phrase sums it up. "I have heard of Thee by the hearing of ear, but now mine eye seeth Thee." What's Job saying? Job's saying that in my weariness of life, I've heard about You. I've heard how good You are, how great You are. But now I can speak from experience, mine eye seeth Thee. What's he saying? He went to another plane. He went with the wings of the eagles to a higher state in his relationship with God because he had a special experience with God in his weariness. And I close with this. Recognize weariness is on the precipice of renewal. Realize that if you are in the state of weariness, your soul is weary about something. Realize you're on the precipice of renewal. I've been on a number of hikes. Back when I was 15 years old, the Wilds had a camp called the Wilderness Camp. You would put a backpack on, and you would go out on the trail for a week. And certainly, those were good times. It was very hot in the middle of the summer. And we would be hiking that trail with that 40-pound backpack on, and we would hear off in the distance running water, a stream. You know what that did for the hiker? Let's get there. Let's get to the place where the water's at. Understand that if you're in the state of weariness, you're on the precipice or you're very close to the place of renewal. He says He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. It's when you are weary that you know that God can renew your strength. You know God's going to intervene. The word "wait" here in Isaiah chapter 40 means to hope expectantly. But they that wait on the Lord, to hope expectantly that God's going to intervene, that God's going to be with you in the time of your weariness. God's saying, recognize that when you're weary, you're on the precipice of Me renewing you, bringing revival, bringing refreshment to your soul. So what if we don't handle weariness correctly? What if we don't reflect? What if we don't realize that it's the pathway to revelation? What if we don't realize it's the precipice of renewal? We'll get to a point where we turn back. 1 Samuel 30, verse 21 has a sad commentary on soldiers in David's army. I know we're dealing physically with physical exhaustion here. But it says, "And David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David." And there are some that do not handle weariness correctly, and as a result, they throw in the towel. They just cannot go any further for God. That is not what God wants as our response. God wants us to reflect. God wants us to understand that it's the pathway of a special revelation to us. He wants us to understand that there's renewal right around the corner. Listen, folks, can I encourage you tonight? Weariness is God's blessing to us because it draws us to Himself. There is rest for the weary.